But peace, peace is something that the world sees as valuable and we know is valuable. To have peace in the world, and you know, there's the events that have taken place in the recent days were obviously on my mind, and that's kind of been on my mind about the peace of God, real peace. What is peace? Peace is life free from disorientation, life free from distress, life free from violence. You look at it, it's harmony, concord, tranquility. Those are some of the synonyms that we use for peace. And peace is something that the world is always striving for. The value of it. How valuable is it? Well, it's so valuable that over the years we've shed blood for peace. It's been part of our American history to shed blood for peace. That's the value of peace. There's a price. It's far greater than anything that we could pay to have peace. We often find ourselves in various situations of peace. You know, there's levels of peace. There's peace in the world. I've kind of mentioned that. And, you know, the things in Paris, the things that are going on in the Middle East, they disturb us. They draw our attention. And we do, hopefully you follow the admonition of Scripture to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That these things, that God will have His way in these areas. We've prayed for years as our men and women have participated and fought for the peace of America, for peace in the world, and we have made it a matter of prayer that world peace. As I was thinking about this sermon, you know, do a quick Google search to see what kind of quotes you might could find and things, and it's largely dominated by the Dalai Lama and Buddhists. They don't know where to find peace. World peace. The Sons of the Pioneers. They sang that song back in the 30s. Peace in the world, or the world in pieces. It's a search. The world is always looking for peace. But you go beyond that. You look in our communities. Peace in our communities. Our nation has been in upheaval recently with the things that have taken place. Violence everywhere you look. Drugs, crime, murder, theft. These things that disturb our peace. Baltimore, Ferguson, Chicago. These kinds of things that concern us, that weigh on our mind as we look at what's going on in our nation and maybe even in your neighborhood. There may be things that are distressing. Maybe you've had a meth lab found close to your house recently. A lack of peace. Police have arrived on our street recently. A lack of peace. In your family, forget world peace. Forget the nation. In our families, we have a lack of peace. There's discord and strife and bitterness and hatred and these kinds of things that arise in our families. There'll be siblings that will be at one another. Mother and daughter, father and son will be at one another because of their unwillingness to surrender rights. They're because of abuses, because of offenses, because of things that were not taken care of. Peace in the home is lacking. Personal peace. Go away from anything that's outside of us and just inside of us. A lack of peace. Inner turmoil about who I am, why I'm here, where I'm going, what does it all matter? What's the meaning in life? These things that we struggle with that disturb us and cause us to look around us and say, where is there peace? Where can I find peace? In the world, there's not peace. In our nation, it seems there's not peace. In our families, it seems, and within ourselves, where is peace? Peace is a valuable commodity that can only be found in Christ. He is our peace. I want to read as my text this evening, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, if you'll turn with me there. Philippians 4 and verse 7 says, "And the God and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Pray with me. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, I'm asking you to bless it tonight. Lord, that in this time that you give me to open up your word, that your Holy Spirit will anoint me. Lord, the things that I say, that they will affect and minister to the hearts and the minds of the people that you've brought together to this place tonight. Lord, as we make an altar later in this service, Lord, that it'll be a place where we find peace. And Lord, we receive from you that comfort, that help that we need. In your name we pray. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understandings. The world talks about peace, and peace is a treaty. Peace is they say it's found within yourself. They say that, you know, let love do, and they look for these things, but the only place to find peace is to find it in Christ Jesus. Christ is our real peace. Isaiah 9:6 says that he's wonderful, counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the author of peace. He's the ruler of peace. We look around and we try to find a world leader that'll come in and make peace. There's not one to be found except in Christ Jesus. When he comes in his final kingdom, he will be the Prince of Peace. There will be ultimately and finally a peace in this world that will not be lost. He is the Prince of Peace. Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace." He's the Lord of peace. Jesus Christ is our peace. When Gideon was there and he was troubled about the situation that was coming about in his life, and he was threshing wheat, and the angel appeared unto him, he said, "Alas, I've seen an angel." And God said to him, "You will not die." The angel said to him, "You will not die." And that's when Gideon stepped back and said, "This is Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace." It was a situation that brought turmoil to his mind and his spirit, because he said, "I am in the presence of a holy God, and I don't deserve to live. I deserve to die." He was saying, "Alas, Lord." He was saying, "Lord, help me. Lord, how can I live through this encounter with you, because you're holy, because you're great, because you're perfect? How can I live through this?" And God spoke to him and said, "I am the Jehovah Shalom. I am the Lord, your peace. You don't have to worry about it. The conflict that's in your life, I take care of it. I take care of that conflict that is in your life." Jesus preached repentance all the days of his ministry. But after his resurrection, when he came and spoke to his disciples, his message at that point to them, every time he encountered them, was "Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you." Every time he saw them, that was his message. And so his message is to us: he's the preacher of peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of peace. He's Jehovah our peace. He is peace. There is nowhere else to look but to find it in Jesus Christ. To find it in Jesus Christ. When the transatlantic cable was laid across the Atlantic Ocean. The first words that were transmitted across that by telegraph were peace on earth, goodwill towards men. The only place to find it is in Christ. The only place to find it is in Christ. Christ is our peace. How is he our peace? Well, what he does for us, Romans 5 and verse 1 tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. Sometimes people get to the end of their life and you'll hear someone say, well, have you made your peace with God? We don't make peace with God. It's not for me to make peace with God. Christ made peace with God. I don't make peace with God. I can't step up to him and say, okay, here's the deal. You know, I'll give this and you give that and we'll call it a truce. No, that doesn't happen with God. When you have a surrender, a peace treaty, there's always give and take from one side to the other. But when I stand before God, I don't come and try to make peace with him. I don't do that. I have nothing to make peace with. I don't have anything to stand there by which he can say, okay, I'll take you now because of this about you. No, we have peace with God because Christ made peace with God. Christ came and stood in our place. We look for peace. We can't find it in ourselves. We can't find it on our own. We only find it through Jesus Christ. He made peace with God. The enmity that we had with him, the separation that we had with him, it was made by Jesus Christ. It was made by him. He made our peace. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15. I'll have to flip back there. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He is the one who made peace with God. He stood in our place. He reconciled us to God. We were irreconcilable. There was no way that gap could be spanned by anything of our own and by ourselves. It could only be spanned by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the cross of Calvary. I'm reminded when the Adams come and do their skit in their kids' crusades, one of their stories they use every time is that black light cross. And they show it laying across that ravine and all the people on one side that can cross that ravine to the other side because Christ reconciled us to God. He made peace with God. He's the one that made the difference. We can't stand there ourselves. We can't make the difference ourselves. God may accomplished the atonement. It was a transaction between God himself, God the Father, and God the Son. It was not a peace that we made with God, but it was a God-made peace. He made peace for us. He took all of those things. He abolished them, the law, the things, the ordinances, all of that. He abolished so that we could have peace with God. It was a God. He reconciled. Our conflicts ended. Our strife was removed. And now we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. We're not outsiders. We're not out of the fold. We're in the fold. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. Colossians 1 and verse 20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, by the blood of his cross. It's the blood of his cross that made peace with God. Christ is the only true and real peace. And he made our peace with God. These things are the things that we know are true and sure. We receive them by faith. They're accomplished by Christ. We know that it's done. We've been reconciled with him. And that's a thing that is accomplished in heaven, our justification. that takes place in that heavenly throne room when we're reconciled with Him and our peace is made with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's something that takes place. And those are great principles. And we need to dwell on them. And we need to hold them dear. And we need to think on them. But you know what? Those are things that we don't have anything to do with except to accept it and receive it. But then we have life all around us that's just like I described earlier. A world that needs peace, families that needs peace, communities that needs peace. And sometimes we fail to see what true peace is with all the storm that's around us. The disciples sit there on that ship and they knew they had the Prince of Peace with them. They knew they had the Jehovah Shalom with them. They knew that He was the Christ, the Son of the living God. They knew who He was. They had seen His miracles. They had seen the way He had multiplied bread. They'd seen the way that He had taken care of the sick and cast out devils. They had seen all of these things, but while they're on their ship, in their storm, in their circumstance, they're distressed and in trouble, and they're saying, "Lord, don't You care that we perish?" Where's their peace? Where's their peace? And I don't stand up here to pretend that I'm a robot and a soldier who can stand without any cause and concern for the things of life that go on around me. We all deal with it every day. We may have peace today, but tomorrow we may be in turmoil. Where is our real peace? And sometimes, in that circumstance, it'll be all right to just say, "Lord, don't You care that we perish? I don't think it's a problem. If I can muster a prayer, that's all I've got to do." And sometimes my prayers in the moment aren't all that spectacular. But we call out to Jesus because we know where our real peace is. We may not be like, you know, I'm thinking of Paul and Silas in prison. Man, I don't know if I could do that. Singing at midnight? Just don't know. I've got the same peace they do, but would I be singing at midnight? Peter was in prison. He just went right to sleep. Execution's coming the next day. James was killed the day before. They've arrested him. He's between two soldiers. He knows what's happening. The church is praying, praying, praying. And he's sitting there, and he sleeps. He had peace. I don't know if I could accomplish that. I might be like Elisha's servant who woke up that morning, and he looked outside, and he saw the armies that were all around him. I believe we need some peace. We're about to go to battle. And he turns around and he says to Elijah, "Elisha, how shall we do? What are we going to do?" Elisha was calm, but the servant wasn't. I don't know where you stand in your life. But I think in any circumstance, we can pray. You know what? It's prayed for one another. Elisha prayed for that servant and said, "Lord, open his eyes." You know, you see a friend who's in turmoil, your prayers might be what helps bring them peace. Your prayers, your comfort, your help, it might be what brings them peace. You know, the justification we have by faith in Jesus Christ, that's accomplished on the cross. It's written in heaven. My name's in the book of life. That can't be changed. But my circumstance in this temporary world changes all the time. And I need peace. And I need a new perspective on peace each and every day. I'm reminded of Pilgrim's Progress when the Christian had already come to the cross. He had already dedicated himself to the Lord, and he was on his way to that celestial city. And he was there, and Apollyon comes to cross his path. And they have this horrendous battle. And as Paul Bunyan describes it, Paul Bunyan, is that right? That's the guy in the stories, John Bunyan. John Bunyan describes it. He the screeching, the hollering, the sword flying, the gnashing, all that goes on and all of it. And he gets to the end of the situation, and he talks about how that in this situation of temptation, this situation of trial, it doesn't look very peaceful. It doesn't look very peaceful. He said there, I never saw him all the while give so much as one pleasant look. It doesn't feel very peaceful when you're fighting the devil. You're not at there. The peace that from the outside isn't quite exactly what it looks like. We don't really observe peace. But it said, till he perceived he had wounded Apollyon with his two-edged sword, then indeed he did smile and looked upward. Apollyon was on top of him, but he smiled and he looked upward. See, in the midst of that storm, we know we have Christ to call out to. In the midst of that army that surrounded us, we know we have Christ to call out to. And the realization of our peace is often what we have to fight with and fight for the most, is our realization of that peace. Oh, it's done in heaven. It's accomplished. Oh, but we have to realize it here on earth. The things that cause us, we get attacked by the enemy. We have peace with God. But the thing that we struggle with the most is having the peace of God in our life. And that's what Philippians 4 and 7 said, the peace of God, which passes all understanding. See, we have peace with God, that's done. But we have the peace of God. That's what's inside of us. That's what keeps us through the circumstance. That's what passes all understanding. It's what gets us through that time when we don't think we could get through it. That's what got Peter through that, sitting in that prison that night and sleeping through the situation. That's what helped Paul and Silas sing at midnight, knowing that they were in their stocks and had no idea of how long it would last. It was the peace of God that passed all understanding, that kept their hearts and minds. It was the peace of God that let Christians smile and look upward, even though Apollyon was screeching above his head as they fought in the battle. It was the peace of God that allowed him to do that. The peace of God, it's a peace that's not of this world. It lives above the circumstances. We're kept by Christ. Let the peace of God keep our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians 3 and verse 17 says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Now here's the part where we have to do it. Let. Just a little word. But you got to let. We hold on. We grasp it ourselves. We try to take care of the discord. We try to take care of the disharmony. We try to take care of the strife. We try to take care of it. We think we have to grab hold of it. And yeah, there's a few things we can take care of. But there's some things we can't take care of. And we've got to learn to let God, let the peace of God rule in our hearts and say, Lord, I put it in your hands. I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my heart. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to stress. I'm not going to let it get the best of me. I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my heart. I'm going to let the peace of God rule in my heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. That's the word, look it up in a concordance. The first thing that come up was umpire. Thought that's a pretty good way to look at it. He makes the call. He makes the call. I got this. I'm in control. Umpire, to determine, to decide, to direct. Let the peace of God determine your spirit, determine your attitude, determine your reaction. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. That sometimes will help us get the right attitude in that circumstance that feels like it's destroying our peace. If we just thank God in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the temptation, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the circumstances. These are the things that fight against our peace. These are the things that keep us from realizing peace in our life. The enemy attacks us. Sometimes it's because we don't realize a few things. The truth in the overcoming power of Jesus Christ. The truth of His unfailing love. The enemy will try to say, no, it ain't real. He can't get you to overcome. He can't. His love, it isn't great enough to get you through. But when we realize the truth, when we realize the truth of His Word, great peace have they that love Thy law, Psalm 119:165 says. When we understand, to keep those truths in our mind. See, we have to keep rehearsing it to ourselves. Yes, I said those things are settled in heaven. We have peace with God. We have the peace of God. But we've got to love that. We've got to go back to it. We've got to go back to that well and draw out of it again every time we feel like our circumstances are getting out of control and leaving us, and we feel like we don't know where to turn or what to do, and peace is gone from our life. We got to go back to that truth. We got to go back to that truth that Jesus Christ is our peace. He's our Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Peace. He takes care of the storms in our lives. Unbelief. Christ could not do many miracles because of their unbelief. Sometimes our peace, the realization of our peace, is defeated by our unbelief. We lose track of what we really believe. What we really believe. We lose faith. But true peace lives above the circumstances. Poverty can't take it away from us because we have the riches of Christ Jesus, His riches in glory. Sickness can't take it away from us because we know that He's our healer. He's the great physician. Persecution cannot separate us from Christ. Story of a man who was going to the stake. He was going to be executed that day for his faith in Christ. And this was in England. And he spoke to the executioner and he said, "Let me feel your heart." And then he said, "Feel my heart." And he said, "Your heart is racing today, but mine is at peace. Mine is at peace." Persecution can't separate us. Nothing can take us. We have those words those letters on tombstones. R.I.P. Rest in peace. The thing we fear the most oftentimes is death, but it's peace to a believer. It's peace to a believer. It's peace to those of us that have peace with God and have the peace of God, that death isn't the end for us. It's not over when death comes. It's only beginning when death comes. The enemy can come and try to scare us with death. He can try to scare us with crossing from this life into another life, but there's nothing to fear, because those of us that die in the Lord, we rest in His peace. We rest in His peace. Peace of God that passes all understanding. It's profound. It's real. It passes all understanding. There's a lot of things in life that we don't understand. There's some really intricate things that we have learned to understand. It's remarkable what the things that God has allowed us to come and to know in the last 200 to 300 years as humans, to understand things about the universe and the world and about life and about space and about the oceans and all of this. But this says it's a peace that passes all understanding. Take the wisest and the smartest, and they can't delve and understand how it can be. The peace of God. The peace of God, the reality of the peace of God. Peace that's real in our lives. It's a perfect peace, Isaiah says. It's a great peace. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of God, our peace. He is our peace. What is it that has been troubling your life? What is it that has been a weighing on your mind? What is it that has been a stress in your situation? Philippians 4:7 says, "Let the peace of God." Let the peace of God. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Let the peace of God have His way in your life. What are those things that bring those unknown things? Those unknown things, those things that we're not sure of. Our peace with God was accomplished by Jesus Christ on the cross. Peace of God comes through prayer. Comes through prayer. Comes through seeking His face. Comes through calling out to Him. Comes through knowing His Word. The peace of God. That's where it comes from. It comes from being in communion with Him. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You. Lord, that You are our peace. And Lord, I don't know the circumstances in many of these people's lives that are burdening them. Lord, I don't know the situations that's causing them to feel turmoil, causing them to feel distress. But Lord, like those disciples who said, Lord, don't You care that we perish? Lord, You'll stand up in their ship and You'll speak peace. Lord, You'll speak peace. You'll bring peace to their situation. Lord, as we call out to You, Lord, I pray that You would help to let faith rise in their heart. Lord, if unbelief is keeping them from reaching out for Your peace, Lord, if the enemy is fighting them and keeping them from having, Lord, the peace of God rule in their hearts, Lord, I pray that You'll give them victory tonight. Lord, that as they work through and they live through their circumstance, Lord, whatever it may be, that, Lord, in the midst of that storm, You are our peace. You are our peace. You're our comfort. You're our joy. Lord, You're what we need. You're what we turn to. Lord, in the midst of the storm, we know that You can be our peace. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord, for a peace that passes all understanding. Thank You, Lord, that You've supplied our peace. Lord, that You bring peace to our life. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Lord, help us to lay our worries at Your feet. Lay our anxieties at Your feet. Lord, our circumstances. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we look to You tonight. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, though we be in a prison, Lord, we can have peace. We can have the peace of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus.